is only fitting. The message is called Overwhelmed. So Wednesday night, of course, when we come over for Bible studies, generally when we change the sign, Jerry and I go out there and this was what was on my heart. And when we went to leave and Deb looked over and saw what I put up there for a sermon title, she just starts laughing. Today is the 5th. In 10 days, we close selling one house and buying another. Last Wednesday, a little before church, Wednesday afternoon, was when I finally got the truck back after it having been in the shop for 2 months. So got it back and got the camper pulled out so that we could de-winterize the camper and get it ready. And Friday morning, right after Deb left to go into work, because she's in for 7:30, I took the camper down and parked it in our spot in the campground so that we will have a place to live while we're getting ready to move into our house down at the campground where we're working. So I get down there and just drove right on up. I knew where I was going, getting ready to park it. All of a sudden, the duty host comes over. Hey, the office called me and said some camper just went flying by. Didn't even stop. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Got the camper set up, got it hooked up, water on, power on, steps out, the porch in place, just in time to punch in for work. So it's like, yesterday was 6 trips to storage. 4 of those trips was a full truck hauling a full trailer. And another trip to Hodgson's to get rid of scrap metal. And that was just yesterday. Overwhelmed. Yeah, sometimes. We all go through times of being overwhelmed. In 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1. Yes, I'm recording. Double check that. 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1. In 1 Kings 18, you'll remember, is when Elijah was on top of Mount Carmel, and you had the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, I believe it was. But I had all these prophets that were the pagan prophets that were calling out to their God, and Elijah's mocking them. Maybe your God's asleep. You have to talk louder. Maybe he's on a long journey. And then after they had their time, he set up and prepared the sacrifice. And it wasn't enough just to have the stones and the wood and the sacrifice. He went and he dug a ditch around it and basically a moat, and had them bring 12 barrels of water and pour it over it so that God answered by fire. And after God answered by fire, Elijah put those false prophets to death. And then told the king, after praying for the rain to start 7 times, until finally his servant said, "I see a cloud like a man's hand." And he told the king, "Go down to the city, because there's a sound of an abundance of rain." God had opened the skies. Right after that is where we are right now. He has just come off of a day of seeing God do miraculous things. He has just come off a day of showing all Israel that God is real, God is able, God is a protector, and God will never fail. The very next day. 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1, says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, 'It is enough. "Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And when he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Elijah, just coming off a absolutely amazing display of the power of God's power. The fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the stones, and licked up the water, is what the King James says. Licked up the water. It was all gone. God showed he was God in a way that no one had ever seen. And coming off of that, knowing that God has been with him, God is protecting him. Even before he came to the king, when the king had sent out armies looking for him, groups of soldiers looking for them, as they tried to take him by force, fire came from heaven to consume the soldiers. The first company of soldiers was destroyed by fire. The second company of soldiers was destroyed by fire. The third company of soldiers said, "Please, please, let my life be valuable in your sight. If I go back to the king without you, the king will kill me. If I try to take you, God will kill me. Will you please come?" But Elijah saw God's protection. Elijah saw God listening to his words. Elijah saw all of that thing, all of that going on. And the queen, Jezebel, said, "May the gods do so to me if I don't make you as one of them by tomorrow at this time." In other words, if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow, I expect the gods to take me out. And Elijah was just overwhelmed. All of the things that had been going on was just weighing him down. And he got that, and he couldn't go on anymore. He had to take a break. He left. He went as far as Beersheba, down in Judah, down in the desert, and left his servant there. And he went on into the wilderness, and he fell asleep under a tree. And the angel of the Lord came and fed him, said, "Arise," said, "eat and drink." And he ate and drank, and he went back to sleep. And the angel of the Lord came to him again. More food, more water, more stuff to drink. And then he went on to the mountain of God in Horeb. And God met him and said, "What are you doing here?" Elijah said, "The people have turned their back on you. The people have turned away from you. And I'm the only one left. And they're after me." Sometimes, even when everything seems to be going good from the outside, we get weighed down. We get overwhelmed. We get overcome with things that are going on in our lives. Sometimes, even though from the outside, man, you should be just on top of the world. God just answered in such a miraculous way, did such a wonderful thing in your life, and you're still... Sometimes we've reached the end of ourselves, and people don't know what's going on the inside. But it happens. We get overcome. We get overwhelmed. We get weighed down. But God is still God. God is still in control. God is still at work. You know the rest of the story. God says, "You know, I have 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal. You are not alone." But we think sometimes we're alone. We get overwhelmed by our circumstances, and we think we've got no place to turn to. There's nobody around that understands, and we get overwhelmed. But God is right there, always. Psalm 143, beginning with verse 1. One of the many Psalms of David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your service, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is distressed. I remember in the days of old, I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. The answer when we find ourselves overwhelmed, even when it seems that we have no place to turn, to remember what God has done. Remember what He's always already brought us through. In several places in the Old Testament, they talk about having the pillars of testimony. This place marks where something happened. When the children of Israel came through the Jordan River on the way into the Promised Land, they took 12 stones out of the bed of the river that God had dried up, and they brought them across, and they set up an altar. They set up a marker. This is where God did this. When Jacob and his family had left Haran, had left his uncle or his father-in-law Laban, and had bringing the family over, and Laban and his other sons came and caught them, and they sat there and talked. They set up a pile. They set up a pillar of stones. They set up a marker to commemorate the meeting and commemorate the agreement. We've talked before about these pillars of testimony, and we don't necessarily have to have a pile of rocks scattered at different places. But mark the milestones in your life, what God has done. Remember back where God has brought you through. That God is faithful. He has not brought you this far to leave you here. He has brought you this far because He has a plan and purpose. So when we are overwhelmed, when we are overcome by a circumstance, when we just don't know which way to turn, remember that God has always been faithful. Always. He doesn't always do things the way I want. In fact, He almost never does things the way I want, because the way I want it is wrong. But the God who sees the end from the beginning and knows what has to happen and is directing my steps has shown Himself mighty, and I can rest and relax and stand firm in that. That doesn't mean I don't get overwhelmed. That doesn't mean I don't sometimes feel at a loss. We all do. Elijah did. David did. Psalm 3, another psalm of David, beginning with verse 1. Lord, how are they increased who trouble me? Many are they who rise up against me. You ever feel that way? Why can't people just leave me alone? You ever feel that way? Lord, nothing seems to be working. I try to be nice to people and it just backfires. I try to be kind, it backfires. No matter what I seem to do, it doesn't work. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Hey, he's so messed up, even God can't fix him. My God's bigger than that. I got one of the things I've came across and shared a couple of times. It says, you may think you've messed up God's plan for your life. Relax, friend, you're not that strong. God's plan takes into account our foolishness, takes into account our shortcoming. God sees the end from the beginning and knows the path we are going to walk. And has still put milestones in the way, put people in our path, put directions in our path, answered prayers in advance to bring us through. Verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. We can cry out to God, Lord, I'm overwhelmed by this situation. I don't know which way to turn. God hears and God answers. And God directs. Sometimes it feels like the heavens are brass, that our prayers aren't going anywhere. But God is faithful whether we feel like it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we recognize what He's doing or not. He is faithful. He is our comfort. He is our strength. He is our rear guard. He is our reward. He is our buckler and our strong tower. He is the one who protects us. He is the one who directs us. He is the one who guides us. And He's the one who loves us and will never leave us. Praise God. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we are facing, we serve a God who loves us, who will never leave us nor forsake us. We read in a couple weeks ago in Malachi, the verse that says, "Then those who feared the Lord talked among themselves, and the Lord took notice and wrote in the book, even those who meditated upon His name." Even when we think about the name of the Lord, God's taking notes. God is paying that close attention to our lives. We are never alone. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7, Paul talking. And he's just been talking about seeing visions and revelations. And he goes on, verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Been a lot of speculation over the years as to what the thorn in the flesh is. A lot of people have an idea or think they have an idea. The Bible never says. Because if the Bible told us what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, we're like, well, yeah, mine's worse than that. Or we try to compare because we're people, flawed human beings. He said, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Stop right there for just a moment. When we're overwhelmed, when we reach the point where we don't think we can do it anymore, recognize that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we stop trying to do it my way because I can't do it anymore, praise God, He is right there and says, "Okay, try this. Let's do something a little different. Have you thought about this?" And begin to direct our steps because we're no longer got the blinders on, the earmuffs on, you know. Got to do it like this because that's the way it's always been done. But we can trust that God knows what He's doing. Paul goes on, "Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I'm going to tell you right now, I am not there. Paul, at this point, said, "I take pleasure in my infirmities." Not me. "I take pleasure in reproaches, in needs." Not me. I get overwhelmed. I get to the point sometimes where I know I need a Savior. I know up here there is nothing too hard for God. I know it. And yet still, sometimes I'll hit a wall. Sometimes I feel like there's no way I can turn. But the answer is, and the answer is the same for each and every one of us, we turn to the Lord. When we reach that point, when we get to the point of being overwhelmed, it's time to just put down your cares, take them to the cross. Put down your plans. Put down your frustrations and say, "Lord," just like Elijah, "I've been doing all these. I've been trying to share your word. I've been trying to be a light, and just there's persecution on every side, and now they're after me." And God told him, "You're not alone." I tell each of us, we're not alone. We all face these things. Elijah is referred to as man of the like passions as us. And yet, he spoke and the heavens shut up were shut up from rain for 3.5 years. As God told him to. And then he spoke again when time came and it began to rain. Paul was on a missionary journey. I don't remember which one. Excuse me just a moment. And he went to go speak. He was speaking in a town. Him and I think it was Barnabas with him at that point. And they went to speak, and the people in town say, "Oh, is this the voice of a God?" No, no. I'm a man of like passions, just like you. I'm just like you. But let me tell you about Jesus. We come to the end of our strength. We come to the end of our abilities, and we get overwhelmed. But His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we stop doing things our own way, when we stop fighting to have it done just the way I think it ought to be done. You know, there's the wrong way and then there's my way. Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever thought that? Not even there's the right way, the wrong way, and my way. There's the wrong way and my way. But God is the one who directs our steps. And God is the one who's called us to seek His face and to draw close to Him. He is the one who guides our steps. Sometimes we have to get to the point of being overwhelmed. We have to get to the point of being overloaded so that we will stop and trust Him. Psalm 3, we don't have to flip back there. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill." When we are overwhelmed, when we are at the end of ourselves, at least then, cry out to the Lord. It's better if we don't get to that point, if we just cry out to the Lord at the start of it. We don't always have that mindset. We don't always have that down, do we? Father, we need You. Lord, we need You each and every day. We see in our circumstances, Father, our own shortcomings and our own limitations. We know, Father, that You are the one who watches over and keeps us. You are the one who guides and directs us. You are our healer and our strength. So, Father, as we face the trials and tribulations and frustrations and annoyances of everyday life, we know, Father, that You are still with us and You are still at work. And even, Father, the difficult things that come up, You've promised, Lord, to cause all things to work together for good to those who love You and are the called according to Your purpose. Father, that even in our circumstances, Lord, You are directing us and You are guiding us. And You are leading us and making us more and more like Jesus. We thank You, Father, Lord, for Your direction. We thank You, Father, for Your comfort. We thank You, Lord, that You see the end from the beginning. You know the things we need even when we don't. And that You are at work making us more and more like You. Father, we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen.